Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
on the hill. Did you get your news from
drama?
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. We, of course, would love to hear from you. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You're afraid to call us, you can always email us your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you're listening live, you can jump into the Blog Talk chat room. blogtalkradio.com/smoothdrama. Jump to the chat room. Myself and Miss Brown Sugar, we're in there patrolling, making sure everything is hot and sticky in there like it's supposed to be. Why does that have to be hot and
sticky?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what is that?
Anyway, social media. If you're on Facebook, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group, myself or Mr. J. He had a sticky mustache. I hear.
A sticky mustache?
Sticky mustache. He's got a sticky, shiny mustache. The sticky, icky, icky. Shut up. Anyway. Hip-hop reference. Anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us, follow us. We'll follow you back, add you back, and we can talk taste on it, because that's what we do. Today is a special bittersweet day. It's one of my heroes, Malcolm X's birthday. Taken from us way too soon.
Yeah.
But we're gonna find a way to celebrate him during the day. Well, during this show especially. Tales from the Apocalypse. So we always got to start, 'cause we're in the middle of the apocalypse, right?
And yes, we are. Sad to say.
And we're talking about that there's some stuff that's just so obvious, and you could tell people are bored, and at the same time, people are trifling. So, for example, there's a study, and it's one of the funniest studies. You know I love my studies here, where they're saying, hey, cats kill millions of animals every year and should be kept indoors. They say, on the average, they said cats kill up to 230 million animals in Australia each year. I'm like, damn. That's some serious cat action right there.
Cats? Regular cats?
Yeah, they said
on the average. Australian cats. Because, you know, Australia has, like, everything is like 0.20. Yeah, everything is just crazy out there. So are they talking about like Australian cats or like domesticated cats or what?
Well, it's definitely the study was out of Australia, and they said even domesticated. So they say on the average, each pet cat, keyword, pet cat, killed 186,000 birds and mammals per year. Each one.
Wow.
Yeah. It's gangster right there. They said now they found that while pet cats kill 25% less than feral cats,
mm-hmm.
but that's still a lot. So, hey,
yeah,
keep your cat indoors with you, your killer. Keep it inside with you. Just want to put that out there.
Wow. I mean, but are they killing? I mean, what kind of animals are they killing, though?
Whatever. Lizards. Birds.
Like lizards, birds.
Rodents.
Rats.
Whatever. I mean, you know, cats are ruthless villains. Your house cat, people don't know that their house cat is the ruthless villain waiting to happen. But they
I think cat people do know that, though. You're a cat person, you know that. Yeah, I think they do know, because I think those are cats bring in that stuff into the house. They bring the dead rats or the dead birds into the house, so.
Yeah, look, it's my trophy.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because the whatchamacallit tells them to do it. The virus tells them to do it. I'm going to always hold on to that one, but we're not going to go there. I just thought people should know that you're living with a killer. Killer. Anyway. other tales from the apocalypse, since we've got our useless study out of the way. Apparently machetes, brown sugar, are back in season. That they were, I didn't know that machetes, but apparently this is machete week, right? So there was a man in Nashville where he slashed a couple. Say he was just angry over the COVID lockdown. They were chilling.
At the wrong place at the wrong time, huh?
And he just came out, didn't know him, nothing. And just started slashing.
Wow.
Yeah, unprovoked. Just random. They were.
Where was this at? Do you know where this was happening?
Nashville, Tennessee, inside of public storage. Yep.
Wow.
Mad over COVID, you know what? I just need to bust out my machete. Have you ever seen a machete in the store?
Yes and no. I don't think it was for sale. So it wasn't like they had a bunch of them. It was like he had it on the wall. The store owner had it on the wall. Like a prize, you know. So.
Okay, because I've never really walked into a store with a machete.
Well, you know, this was a mom and pop, and he had like a trinket store. He had a lot of weird stuff in there, kind of like the gremlin thing.
Yeah, you go in there, hey, you want this strange? I got one.
Yeah.
Keep it locked in the chest. Yeah. Like, no, I'm good, homie. So
it was that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that type of thing. See, because this is why I say tales from the apocalypse, right? There's a Kansas man who sought legal permission in Iowa to engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife. And he went to court to ask to have a sword fight with his ex-wife. And they ruled, an Iowa judge did, that he's not crazy. He was just angry over their child custody agreement. Now the dude.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, so this dude, David Ostrom, I want to say this. He said that he wanted to rend their souls from their bodies. But he's not crazy. That's normally what happens. It's like, you know what? we fighting over custody. Maybe we should handle it with a sword fight.
Well, you know, at one point in time, they handled everything. Well, I thought it was just between men, but maybe women did too, with a duel. So maybe that's what he was thinking.
Yeah, but a duel would kind of be like, what's the word? It should be mutual combat. It's like, I'm guessing that she wasn't like, you know what? I accept your offer. Let's get into this sword fight.
True.
I mean, because that could probably catch you off guard. Because, you know, you're in family court, whatnot. You just think, okay, over custody. You have your normal custody, one person upset with the other person. So you come out with it, and it's like, yeah, I want to have a sword fight with my ex-wife because her and her attorney, I want to rend their souls from their bodies. The judge is like, he just angry. He not crazy. See, this is stuff that happens.
So
in
then he said it was okay to do the sword fight just because he was angry, or he was just like, they're not going to commit him. We're not going to send him to the crazy house. We're just going to say he's angry and dismiss the case.
Yeah, he's not insane. He's just angry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's possible, I guess.
Hmm.
I mean, anger can make you insane, though.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what crime of passions are?
Yeah, crime of passions is something that happens spontaneously.
Well, yeah, but then you were temporarily insane by, I would think. I mean, I feel like any time you kill somebody, you would have to be
somewhat
crazy.
Well, he's saying rend their souls. So maybe he's not saying, I want to kill you. I just want to rend your soul from your body. It's a different term, right?
But isn't that more like a metaphor?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, see, I myself thought, and this was my first thought, like, you know, if you kill mama, your kid's probably not going to respect you.
Well, he would be in jail, so they would just be without both parents anyway.
Well, yeah, and I thought, okay, so I'm going to rend their souls. Maybe I don't kill them. I just bring them to the brink of death. I cut a lot of pieces off, mama. I just don't see how you can come back from that with your kid. Personally.
Well, hopefully it's a little kid and they don't know.
Well,
if it's child custody, so. Hopefully they're small kids and
we're
someone
talking
smart
about
has, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking about the nature of this country, right? And in this world now, everything's digital. So the sword fight between mommy and daddy probably going to live forever.
True.
Viewers, don't try this at home. Rated PG-13.
But that's only if they had the sword fight. So do you think him going to court is going to live forever? I mean, are people going to remember and bring that up?
Well, that was his point.
Because
he sought legal permission to have a sword fight with her instead
of I don't know.
Yeah,
just
that's
doing it, huh?
You see what I'm saying? That's the crazy.
No.
That's
true.
That's the crazy, because he's so crazy that he sought legal permission, like a judge would like consider it. And see, what I'm saying to you is, you know, as a woman, you know, you have kids. I don't think you would ever contemplate that the father of your children would want to engage in a sword fight over custody for those kids. That's not an everyday thought.
No.
Don't happen like
no.
that. Yeah, so I just want to put that out there to the ladies, y'all.
in case anybody ever says that, then we know that that's a red flag.
Yeah. That should be a red flag.
Oh, it's several. It's several red flags. But see, this is X, so, you know, at that point it wouldn't matter to me anyway, but...
Yeah, that's why he's the ex.
Now you have to be kind of in fear for your life, though. Like, what if he decides to act on it anyway at this point?
Yeah. Well, you can't put him in jail because he hasn't done it. You got to wait till he kills her.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, because it only works if you, like, threaten the president. You know, only presidents, governors, those are the only people who are exempt from that. Because we got orders of protections every day. But for some reason, it's if you threaten to kill a politician, you'll get arrested. But you're threatening to kill your spouse, I put a hole in that bitch. You say that, yeah, we got to wait till he does it. Like, okay. And so that's what we're talking about. On that note, we probably need to take a break. Then, like I said, today is Malcolm X's birthday. El Hajj Malik Shabazz. So this is Democracy is Hypocrisy.
Don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Together you got to move. Drummer. Smooth Drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. That was the late, great Malcolm X. Democracy is hypocrisy. It's weird how he was saying that stuff in like 1960,
1961. You know, I was thinking the same thing.
And
I mean,
60 years later?
Yeah.
Still the same.
Exactly the same.
Eerie. Exactly the same. I mean, because we've seen it how many times? Somebody gets attacked, and instead of focusing on the fact that the police killed an unarmed person, we start talking about, well, hey, they used to smoke weed. Like, okay. He did cocaine. What that had to do with him getting shot unarmed on video? Are you breaking into his house? Or him not being able to... All the things that you're not able to do that we talked about all the time. It's funny how it has not changed. Not one iota. Not one iota.
Not one.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that have changed, though, Queen Elizabeth won't be able to resume her duties. Because of COVID. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth had duties?
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
I'm like,
she has to eat tea, throw teas and luncheons, and she either has them at her palace or she has to go make appearances. Yeah, those are her duties.
That's hard work. That's really hard work.
Yeah.
Not gonna be able to do that no more. Not gonna be able to have parties at the palace or go out and meet folks at plush events because of COVID. And it's like, you know, they say she's like hurt, heartbroken.
Well, that's her social outings.
Yeah. She doesn't want to slow down or stop working. Working. That's working. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what else is she supposed to do?
I don't know, but I'm thinking I'm living the wrong life.
I could have told you that.
Yeah. Thought, right? I can live in a palace that I don't have to pay for, and people worship and adore me, and everywhere I go, they worship and adore me, and they pay for me to do that.
Yeah.
It's awesome life right there. Awesome life. Speaking of an awesome life, let me ask you this question. Brown Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
This question. Are we in a simulation? And for you answer the question.
I don't know.
Before you answer the question, for the people out there listening, I'm going to break down to you what a simulation is according to dictionaries. A simulation is the recreation of a real-world process in a controlled environment. It involves creating laws and models to represent the world and then running those models to see what happens. Simulations are used for scientific exploration, for safety tests, and to create graphics for video games and movies. Now, let's take out those last parts, even though we don't necessarily have to. Laws and models to represent the real world, and then running those models to see what happens. That sounds eerily like the real life things that we're going through now.
Yes, it does, sadly.
So I asked the question, are we in a simulation? Has what we've been doing here the past 2 months, is that a simulation?
You know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you just might think it is.
Conspiracy theorist. I mean...
Or I wouldn't even say that, because I think some people who have awakened, and I hate the word woke. I hate the word where people say, I'm woke. But there is a sense of you being awakened to society, not necessarily as a black person, but as a human being. Then you might agree with that, yes.
Oh, so
I mean, because as a human being, we have issues, but then as a black person, you have another set of issues. So,
okay, so let's say this.
Yeah.
Let's say this. So mm-hmm. we're in a simulation. So we say we're in a simulation, and then we mm-hmm. start talking about, okay, we've been living in the bizarro world
for quite some time. Yeah.
Right. Bizarro mm-hmm. is. Exact opposite. Whatever it is, he says, he's going to do the opposite. itself, if we think about it, if we're living in the bizarro world now, and this is a simulation, it would be the equivalent of a lady saying to a man, hey, just put the tip in. It's not, I'm just saying, because, you know, generally that's what a man would say, hey, just let me put the tip in, right? But in the simulation, it would be the woman saying, hey, just put the tip in. It's a thought. Because it's something that just never happens, right?
I'm assuming no, it doesn't.
Yeah, so I mean, I would ask the listeners out there, if you're in the chat room, if you want to email your answer, have you ever said that? Have you known you talked to a girlfriend or you're a guy and you had a woman that said, hey, just put the tip in? Because, see, it's the exact opposite of what you would think. This is where we're at. Because we're talking about, we're already living in the exact opposite. So what's the exact opposite of the exact opposite?
What you just said.
Yeah. Now, Vorpal Bite in the chat room asked, I never got a stimulus. Did you get a stimulus? Something showed up in my bank account. And that actually is that's another example of the opposite.
I mean,
happening.
But the stimulus process is not over.
Yeah. There's another round coming.
So, I mean, well, even the first round is not over. So, it's not over.
It's not over. To the fat lady.
No, I think, like, people, if they were on Social Security or something like that, that still has yet to happen. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I asked that, you know, I ask these questions to say, okay, have we thought about how we're doing? I mean, because we start talking about stimulus, and you're basically telling me I don't have to do anything, and you're gonna put money in my bank account. That doesn't happen. Is that a byproduct of the apocalypse, or is that a byproduct of the simulation?
Aren't they one and the same?
Yeah, they could be, if you believe that. So did the apocalypse make the? So the apocalypse is part of the simulation. So.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens in the apocalypse is a byproduct, you know, of the simulation. And so the reactions that happen, like stimulus, people busting out machetes on folks, people breaking out their guns and rocket launchers, because you can't tell me I'm gonna stay inside. I mean, because this is the gist of that argument, right? You got the people who are like, no, you busting my freedom out. If I want to go outside, I can go outside. And I'm like, yeah, okay, go outside. Do you think? But that's that argument, right?
Yeah.
That's been the argument the whole time. Because they're saying that the government is trying to tell them what to do. And so you have folks who are showing up the government with their guns and rocket launchers. You have no toilet paper. You have to look real hard for toilet paper.
They're finally getting back to normal on that. So.
Yeah. Well, you just don't think of it like that. It's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, you have people who are doing the exact opposite of common sense. Hey, for example, you can now drink in public. So it used to be there was the rule, no public, the prohibition of public drinking, right? Open containers, mm-hmm. whatnot. And so that's kind of been mm-hmm. loose because they want people to relax because of the situations in this simulation, people are ready to, like, literally burst into flames, right? So now what they've done is there's a lot of stuff that has been allowed to happen. You know, we've talked about the different things, the different laws and rights that have kind of, like, moved to the side. Like, you know, there's another thing that's been put out there where in this bill there's protection for big companies' liability during the apocalypse, which you would say they roll that back because, hey, you're gonna not have that protection when we go back to non-apocalypse. So when the simulation is over, a lot of rights are going to be gone. And in the meantime, hey, you'll be able to drink outside in public and have your concealed weapon at the same time.
So what rights are going to be gone?
Well, remember I talked about the colleges, and by a product of the colleges, also there's the slippery slope that if colleges aren't responsible for the atmosphere, the positive atmosphere that they're to be providing for the students, they're not responsible for the negativity that happens there, but they're supposed to be, then a byproduct of that is corporation at the same time won't be held accountable for a negative atmosphere that it is exhibited on their premises. Because remember, we've got to a point where we hold them accountable for the things that happen under their umbrella. So you start easing that stuff off, and see, what I always talk about is precedent. I'm not a lawyer, but I understand precedent. So you set a precedent here, it can apply somewhere else. So I set this precedent here. Colleges they're not responsible for environment on their campus and the responsibility to their students. Transfer that over to a corporation is not responsible for the environment that the employees are having to work under, the conditions that the employees are having to work under.
Well, and isn't that an issue already, though? That's already an issue.
Right. And so what I'm saying is this. You look at how it's set up here, and then you can slide it over here because, hey, if the colleges aren't responsible, corporations shouldn't be responsible either. And that's why I say when they're talking about rolling back protections for for the people against corporations and the atmospheres that the corporation was supposed to, because you're supposed to have comfortable, non-stressful working atmospheres, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to. But a lot of that is being rolled back. And it's the small print. It's the small print in the bills that are being proposed. And it's, like I said, it's one of those things people aren't looking at. And that's why I say, see, you put things in the simulation and boom, in this simulation you got the apocalypse. How do people perform under this pressure? And what can you get away with in that time of pressure? Because people aren't thinking brown sugar. Hey, you know, this is not bad for us as a people. They're worrying about, hey, coronavirus, and when can I get toilet paper? It's funny, but it's not. It's not something that a lot of people are thinking about, because once again, we're not thinking under the proper context of what happens when you set precedents. And that's why we're talking about, is this a simulation? It's a controlled environment. It fits that term, right? It involves creating laws and models to represent the world and then running those models to see what happens. I think we have those. We've established that, right?
I agree.
So now, here we are. And so everyone, so you still have created enough division in this. You've rolled back taxes. I mean, we're printing money. And so nobody cares about a deficit. Nobody cares about printing money and how this is going to get paid for, so long as that money shows up in my bank account. Now, we know.
Well, the money is supposed to go back into, you know, you're supposed to go put it back into the corporations. But I feel like, I mean, like if you live here, I mean, that's all you can do. You can't do anything with that but buy groceries. You probably could pay one bill, maybe part of your car note or your insurance, and then buy groceries. You can't pay your rent here with that. Or you can just pay your rent and not eat.
Okay. So let's say, all right. It's like double dipping for them, right? So one, not only I get a tax break. Two, I get paid money to keep America working, right? Even though they're still furloughing employees. And 80% is what you have to spend, but you get to keep 20% right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still going to give you that money too, so you're getting paid twice. It's a win-win. And on top of that, you get to roll back some protections for the said employees. Because nobody's worried about that. Everybody's worried about everything else. Hey, we got this virus. Hey, we've got this. Hey, we've got that. But if you look, like I said, look at the precedents. Because it's not about what's going to happen now. It's about what's going to happen later. Because later on, there's going to be a case. There's going to be a challenge for something. And they're going to look back at this time. And you're not going to be able to say, hey, well, it was the apocalypse. It was a simulation. It's like, no, this is what happened. And it was found that under some circumstances, this held us back. And so the whole, as they call it, laissez-faire thing,
mm-hmm.
it it's to a detriment to the common working thousandaire out here. Just my opinion. I could be wrong. I've been wrong a thousand times.
I mean, I mean, there's not too much that is for our advantage. But, you know, until we start, or I'll say this, until we stop being consumers and consuming everything, I mean, even now, I feel like this is a good opportunity, instead of people being mad about being in quarantine, for people to figure out, okay, how can I make this work for me, and how can I make it work for everybody that's a worker bee? Because, you know, to me, there's no more, I don't feel like there's a rich and a poor and a middle class. You either own your own business, which in turn, you are working for someone still. Because even owning your own business, you're working for the people you're doing business with. You still are obligated to them, or for them to continue to use your business. And when I say worker bees, I mean, you know, the people who work for corporations. So, like you were saying about the rights, as far as like Amazon, that's one of the corporations that's, you know, having issue now, where people are going on strike and saying don't, you know. Walmart has been one of the ones people have complained about because of their working conditions. So now is a good time to be, you know, for me, I feel like. I could be wrong, though.
Well, there's,
I know
there's
people need their jobs, so.
There's something that we'll talk about, something that was circulating when we come back from break. This is Malcolm X, Media Manipulation.
This young lady got in.
Now, you're right, of course, the black people are in the worst. They have had the worst treatment. But isn't it also possible that if the white people, the poor people, the people down in my neighborhood, the white people, those that don't work, those that are on welfare, those that have nothing, and they got together too. And you help us, we'll help you. You help us get up there. You help us get rid of some of these people that are pressing down on us.
No, I say you should be just as active in your neighborhood as we're trying, as you have been in our neighborhood.
All right, get on it. Everybody's going for something. We alone, there are too few of us. There are too many men up there with all their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinion. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are, and how this they are, and how that they are. So a mistake is made on your part when you think that white people suffer the same as black people. Or as many Jews will say, well, we're a minority too. Or the Irish will say, well, we used to be a minority. No one's a minority like we are. They didn't need civil rights legislation to solve any other minority problems. It didn't take a civil war to solve any other minority problems. It didn't take Supreme Court decisions to solve any other minority problems or legislation. It takes none of that other kind of that action to solve the minority problems of the other people. The only real minority in America is the Afro-American. Now, when white people, who are oppressed and poor, supposedly, but the poorest white person can go where the richest black person can go. It isn't only poverty of in money. That we're talking about, poverty in spirit, poverty in freedom, poverty in equality, poverty in human dignity. This is the kind of poverty we're suffering from. So that the richest Negro in this country is still poor. When it comes to freedom, he's broke. When it comes to human dignity, he's broke. This is the kind of poverty we're talking about. So when you find white people who are poor, with all these doors that there are open to them, any door that you knock on, if you qualify, it'll open. So when you find a poor white person, he's in bad shape. He didn't know.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. That was Malcolm X, Media Manipulation. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And so, it brings us to Groundhog Day. I mean, we are talking about Malcolm X, his birthday, his legacy, and some of the things that we talk about. Malcolm X is the typical American, and when I say American, I'm talking about the American with the KKK in the spelling story.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no!
So let's look at Brother Malcolm's story. Grew up, nuclear family. Father's a preacher. Mother's a teacher. He had that whole, I want to be treated with respect, like a real human being, you know, type preacher. That was his father. Like, he had the nerve to want to be treated normally. Weird. Way too much self-esteem, right? He committed suicide tied up on the train tracks. That was the cause of death. He committed suicide tied up on the train tracks. You know, that's typically how you commit suicide. And because he committed suicide, the family can't get the life insurance. And suddenly, the mother was committed to a mental asylum, and the children were dispersed. Shockingly, they didn't do that well. Malcolm became a criminal, dubbed Detroit Red, famously. He goes to jail, converts to Islam, and oh my goodness, becomes a law-abiding, outspoken citizen, which is supposed to be your American right, right? You should be able to criticize the government, all that. At that point, he gets popular and is called a racist because, once again, oh my goodness, he had the nerve to hate the people who hated him. Weird thing there, right? Just, you hate the people who hate you. Because the rule in America is you're supposed to not hate your oppressor, but rather turn the other cheek. So, they can punch you on that side, too. Now, unfortunately, he's not just hated by his oppressors, but also his fellow Muslims, a.k.a., to bring it home, Tekashi 6ix9ers, a.k.a., confidential informant, a.k.a., haters. They all conspire together and eventually kill Malcolm. He was shot, coincidentally, by black men. And black men who had nothing to do with the beef between him and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his spiritual teacher, father figure, after his father was gone. Now, what about that is not the American story? For black people. That's, you know, you have the nerve. I mean, because we look at the examples. You can entertain us so long as you don't talk about ills of society. It's not right. know, Kaepernick had the nerve to say, hey, this police brutality and the way they treat poor black people is just wrong. And he's the worst thing on the face of the planet. What's wrong with you? You know, I mean, nonviolently, by the way. He didn't cuss anybody out. He just took a knee. They say he was anti-military, even though the people in the military advised him that's what he should do. And so we look at you start talking about the breakdown of the family. So you say black men who don't have their fathers, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go bad if they don't have a father figure. So what happened with Malcolm? His father is murdered. He goes bad. He gets father figure. He gets back on track. Loses that father figure. He gets murdered. Black on black crime, as we call it. He wasn't killed by the coroner. It's kind of what happens here in America. What's always happened here in America. It's what we do and how we've always done it. And so now you start talking about criminal justice system. And you look at the example. So remember we had the crack epidemic. Yeah. It was the war on crime. So it's gonna put everybody in jail. Because it was a black thing. You know, it was in the hood, it was in the ghetto. It was the ghettos across the country. And a lot of families were broken up. It was terrible. Fast forward 30 years later, we're in the opioid crisis. It's a crisis. The suburbs is on fire. Everybody's addicted. It's crazy. We're not putting people in jail. We've learned that the war on drugs, it just didn't work. So we're going to open rehab. They even passed a law that said, and I remember we talked about it, mushrooms. You're in possession of mushrooms, it's not a felony. I'm like, okay. Okay. It's not, you just go on a trip in the middle of public. And so now Malcolm said it when you had the system of violence, and that's when Kennedy was killed, it's the chickens coming home to roost, because you create an environment that is violent and it's full of hate. Eventually, it's going to lead back to you. So when politicians brought in the drugs in the inner city, so it's like they're bringing in the drugs. Ronald Reagan is a part of bringing in the drugs, and Nancy Reagan is saying, just say no. It's kind of funny, right? Just say no.
Yeah.
But my husband's bringing it in. Now you have, that's the chickens coming home to roost, because you had the opioid crisis, because you created this environment where it's lawless. and drugs to everybody. Like, it was not going to happen in the suburbs, too. And so, right. Here we are. The kinder, gentler America. We need rehab. And
well, they've always had rehab, though. Well, I don't understand that. To me, for my understanding, is really nothing new. I mean, they were before the opioids. They were dying from heroin. So I don't understand. You know what the, like, I know it's a big deal, but I don't see why it's a big deal. They've always done drugs and died.
Well, you know what I mean? Right, but the big deal is the environment. See, because we talked about earlier, is this a simulation? And so we talk about multiple simulations. Right, so we can say this opioid crisis is another simulation, and how doing this affects this, just like we talk about the apocalypse here, the COVID, the age of COVID. It's in the simulation and what we're doing here. It's, everything is an environment. And out of that environment, certain things happen or are enacted. And then, what's the aftermath? I mean, so we can say the destruction in the black community after the crack epidemic is still being seen today. I mean, because you see it in kids and families and dysfunction. And so, this opioid crisis, epidemic, whichever one you want to call it, there's a fallout to this too. There's a generation, because the opioid parents have kids, and then they're going to have
kids. Yeah.
And what does that look like?
Well, we already know what it looks like. We've been dealing with the whole generation after generation of drug addicted babies, because regardless of what the drug is, if there's a baby that's addicted to it, you know, there's lasting effects. So we already know what that looks like.
Yeah, well, I mean, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's a different, because remember, we've got people who, a president says drink bleach, they drink bleach. Hey, that's stupid. And so what does the next generation do? Because you have people who actually listen to a guy say, hey, drink bleach. That's dumb. But you people will listen. And so what does next look like? And so that's the point. I mean, because it's one thing, there was racist violence. But now you're going to have racist, violent, chemically unbalanced. What does that look like? You know,
That does add a different element.
And that's what Malcolm was saying. Chickens coming home to roost. You create this situation, you get this situation. It doesn't exist. It doesn't disappear. It happens for everyone. And on that note, from Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. Shout out to the spirit of the late great Malcolm X, also known as El Hajj Malik Shabazz. We are out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
together you got. Ooh, drummer.